Welcome to Season 2 of The Voice Behind the Pen, hosted by author and screenwriter S.C. Dickens. Before we move into this new season, we'd like to thank everyone for tuning in, following, subscribing, rating, and sharing Season 1. You all made Season 1 a lot of fun to put together. Keep sending in your feedback as it helps us get better at delivering a quality show for you all to enjoy. A special thanks to all of the guests from Season 1, Freeze, Tony Hale III, Mark Six Mitchell, Empress Rolanda, William Young, Keith Lakeen Powell, Victor L. Martin, John Alexander, Brianna Cole, and Marcus Massey. Thank you all for coming on and sharing your expertise, mindset, and wisdom. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, send SC an email via the email link at www.theauthorscdickens.com. While you're on the site, be sure to check out SC's ghostwriting services and other works on the store page. If you'd like to advertise on the show, or you'd like production work for any of your projects, send me an email at faxtheproducer@gmail.com. That's fax with a Z. So, as usual, kick back, grab whatever your go-to is to let loose, and please enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I'm your host, author, and screenwriter, S.C. Dickens. And tonight, we will embark on a profound journey with the talented wordsmith, Toya McCrae, as she unveils the intricate layers of her memoirs, From a Rotten Apple to a Georgia Peach. In this captivating introduction, we will dive into the essence of McCrae's narrative, exploring the genius of her literary masterpiece and the profound insights it offers. Without delay, let's immerse ourselves into the captivating realm of Toya McCrae's imagination. Good evening, Toya. How you doing this evening?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm good. I appreciate you coming on the show and showing some love.
Yes. I'm here. Always showing love.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I appreciate that, you know. So I wanted to ask you, what inspired you to write From a Rotten Apple to a Georgia Peach?
In the past, just talking to friends and family members about my life and things that I've been through, things that I've seen and experienced. You know, people was always saying, you should write a book. You should write a book. Or they didn't really believe me. And I would have to call my sister or my brother and be like, remember this time? Remember that time? And just bringing up different memories and things that we've been through. And, you know, I just always had a story to tell. So people would always say that. And I just didn't think, you know, other people would be interested. Of course, friends and family, you know, is going to have a different perspective than a stranger. But I just didn't think it was interested enough to write a book.
Okay. Can you give us a brief overview of what the readers can expect from your book?
My book is actually like a memoir or autobiography, I would say. And it's just about my life growing up and things that I've been through, things that I experienced, things that made me the woman that I am today.
Okay. So why did you choose the title? It's an intriguing title.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when I first chose that title, I had some of my people from New York feeling some type of way. Because it's like a rotten apple to a Georgia peach. What you trying to say? That New York was like this and you didn't like it? And I was like, no. That's not what I'm saying. It's just that a lot of things that I was going through when I was in New York was challenging. And then once I grew up and got some experience and some education and moved down here, you know, they call Atlanta the Peach State. So that's why I named it From a Rotten Apple to a Georgia Peach.
Okay. So what were some of the challenges you faced in the transitioning from your past experience to where you are now?
It was kind of like a culture shock because Atlanta is different. I mean, a lot of people compare it to New York, but it's a lot different. You know, I'm used to being able to just walk out of my apartment and go to the store That's the one every corner in the middle of the night. Can't do that down here in Atlanta. Like, it ain't stores like that on every corner, like in New York, you know. And when I first started hearing about Atlanta, I'm thinking of like The Color Purple. Like, that's how it was. Like, they ain't had no sidewalks and no lights on the highways and things like that. It's just a bunch of dirt roads and country people. And it's not like that. And a lot of people hear stories about where, you know, a place is and what it's like, and they run with it instead of experiencing it for yourself. And I have a lot of friends and family that have never been out of New York.
Okay. What do you hope readers will take away from reading your memoir?
Well, I hope that people who live in New York would want to come to Atlanta and experience it for yourself, and vice versa, because I have friends and coworkers that I know here in Atlanta now that's never been to New York, and a lot of them want to go, but they hear a lot of the horror stories about New York. Y'all really have rats? Like, I was like, let me tell you something. Rats don't run like in the street, like you walking down the street and you see a rat. And they like, well, we see the TikTok or a video where they was coming from a club and then the rat. I said, well, some places it's like that, but that's not what it's about. And it's not like so dangerous you can't walk down the street. I mean, people do get robbed. But people could get robbed here in Atlanta, too. If you go to the wrong area, you know, at the wrong time of day, you know, something could happen to you. But you think of all the stereotypes and what you see in movies and what people tell you, and people believe that that's true. So they scared to go to New York without someone, you know, who know about it or know where to go and, you know, the places that are safe. And you can have a good time and a good experience.
Okay. What made you choose the book cover?
I just wanted to show a part of what both the cities look like the skyline. Like, it's beautiful. New York and Atlanta is beautiful. And they kind of look alike. And once I kind of put that together, you know, I was like, well, might as well throw a picture in there. So I just put my picture in between it. And I had maybe about four or five different options on what I was going to use. And then I sent it to my goddaughter, who actually did the cover for me. And then I kind of put it up on Facebook and then had people kind of choose which cover they thought would be best. Or like, if you've seen this on a cover, would you be interested to pick the book up? So okay, that's why I chose the picture I did.
Can you discuss the role of your family in your life on how it influenced your story?
My family was very influential. Like, we always look out for each other. We always help each other. My family, my house was like the party house. And now that I'm older, my house is like the party house. My dad was always going out, him and my mom, and having functions at the house. Anytime they went out, they always took us with them. We went to a lot of house parties and baby showers, birthday parties. And I just wanted to, you know, continue that when I got older.
Okay. How did your upbringing and what, quote unquote, as you say, a rotten apple environment influence your perspective on life?
Growing up, it was pretty tough. A lot of things was different in the 70s, 80s, even 90s than they are now. And seeing some of the things that I've seen and the experiences that I had growing up made me tougher. You know, because sometimes I hear people say, why are you always looking so mean? And it's like, I'm not trying to look mean or be mean. Or they'd be like, oh, yeah, she from New York. You know, and I'm like, that really is like a stereotype. But if you knew and understand how it is growing up in New York, when I was growing up, you have to be tough. You can't be so nice and so kind and so trusting. And when you're born and raised in the South, you know, it's a little slower. So the people are a little more friendlier because you don't have to deal with the things that we have to deal with in New York. Like, it's totally different. So it's nothing personal, but that's just how you are. And then you have friends and family and people around you, you know, telling you, strangers speaking to you, like, who that? You know him? You know her? Well, why are you speaking to her? Like, we're not so friendly like that. So then when we come down here and people speak and you don't speak back and they looking at you like, oh, she from New York, you know, and it's like, okay, yeah, it ain't nothing personal. It's like, I don't feel like I seen you all day. Every time I see you, I'm going to say hi. I'm not going to do it.
Gotcha. Now, even though it's a memoir, did you have writer's block or did you have a moment that you thought, should I tell this story or should I tell this story?
Yeah, because I had so much more I wanted to say. And I was like, ooh, I ain't going to have, I mean, it's going to be too long. You know, I didn't want to make it too long and I wanted it to be interesting. So I kind of try to focus on the different points of my life that was really significant, that like stands out, that I'll always remember, that I'll never forget.
Okay. How did you maintain hope and motivation during your darkest moments of your life?
My family. Because my family really, really stuck together. You know, I mean, I had a family that I could talk to my mom and my dad about anything. I could talk to my sister and my brother about anything. You know, we don't have like no family secrets, or it wasn't nothing that I didn't feel comfortable coming to them with. And even as a child, I was always asking questions. You know, my father used to be, you so damn nosy. I'm like, well, I want to know. And my father would tell me, my parents would tell me, whether it was drugs, it was sex, it was how to make money, how to hustle, you know, how to educate, you know, as far as school, you know, you ain't had no choice to graduate. Yeah, I didn't have a choice to get my education.
Okay. How do you see your experiences reflected in the broad social and cultural context of today?
Today, I don't know about today. It's like with people that I know, you know, it's easier and they kind of understand and get it. But I think people who don't understand my story or don't understand where I come from and why I do the things I do or why I act the way that I do, don't understand it.
Okay. Do you think that things in your past have traumatized you?
Yeah, in a way, but I'm strong. So even things that would be really traumatizing for another person that would kind of break them down never broke me down. Like, I never had a situation that I felt like it was so difficult. Well, maybe one. Maybe one situation, it was really difficult, and I felt like I couldn't handle it on my own. So I just made the decision to leave, and that's why I had left New York.
Okay. If you had somebody come to you and say, hey, Toya, I want to write a book. Where do I start? What advice would you give them?
I would tell them to start with how you feeling, like what you feel is important to you that you willing to tell other people that other people will find interesting, and to really do it because you want to do it, not because you want to make money. You know, I never wrote my book because I was saying I need money and I want to write this book and I'm going to make this money and this is how I'm going to live. No, I love writing it. And I know there are some authors out there that are, you know, really writing as a career, but I didn't see it as a career for me. I seen it as, you know, something that I enjoy doing, you know, more like a hobby. You know, I like to write and I've always loved to write. I just didn't really think that I would be at a point where I can write something like that and sell it and make money and people would really enjoy it the way that they have.
Okay. Now, with you writing your autobiography / memoirs, would you want to venture off into another genre? And if so, which genre would you want to go into?
I don't know. I kind of feel safe with the memoirs, or like if someone needed my help, because they actually telling their story. You know, when you start going into other genres, then you really gotta be more creative. You know what I'm saying? And you gotta come up with different ideas. And to do that alone, you know, it would be a lot. And it takes a lot of time and dedication. And, you know, I work, I gotta hustle, you know, so it'd be difficult to really dive into that if that's what I wanted to do. But I mean, it's possible.
Okay. Do you have anything else in the works?
Well, just another book that I co-wrote with SC. You may know him. Called Bringing It From the Streets to the Sheets. Now, that was definitely, I would say, kind of like out of my league, I thought. But as we were writing and going back and forth, it was interesting and juicy. And I was like, ooh, like people would love it. Like when I was telling people about it, they like, well, when is it coming out? When is it coming out? And I'd be like, you know what? I just got like caught up in, you know, some personal stuff at home and with my brother and my relationship and everything that I just haven't really put it out there, but was able to finish it. And I really want to put it out. I was just talking to one of my coworkers about that, and I'm definitely going to put it out within the next couple of months.
Okay. Would you want to do another anthology or another, you know, work with another author? And if so, who would it be?
No, not at this time. I don't think I want to work with anyone else.
Okay. So do you have a favorite author that you read, or?
Right now, I haven't. I have not been reading. But I've been seeing, like, a lot of movies now based on books that I read like years ago, you know. And okay. Then I heard in the past they were saying, like, The Coldest Winter Ever, for example, that they was going to make a movie out of it, but it never came out. So I'd be looking at, you know, some of these things like, I remember that, like, I think it was Be More Careful. I think I seen that movie and I was like, they got a movie? I didn't even know. So I'm like, wow. And then I seen something about Wifey. So I don't know if it's actually out or if it's, you know, going to come out or whatever. And I'm sure a lot of people who have read Wifey 1, 2, 3 and all that. So I'm like, yeah, this is really good. Because I'll be watching, you know, Lifetime and Tubi. And when I read my book, I'm like, I know this could be a movie. Because I done seen some movies like, who produced this? How did this get on the screen? Like, you know, like, I know my shit is good. Keep it real. I know it is. Both of them, actually. But that second one, man, I might have to be, like, for mature audiences only. Unless we could, like, tame some of the, you know, scenes down. Because I seen some scenes, like, how is this on Tubi or how is this on Lifetime? Like, they really showing a lot. And it's like, I don't know, but I definitely think that would be interesting.
Okay. So would you, if you had the opportunity, because you know a lot of authors are becoming producers and screenwriters, would you think about tipping your hat into that?
Definitely.
Okay. Would you think about doing your Rotten Apple, Georgia Peach?
I would, but I think the second one would be better, only because of all the stuff that I'm watching now on TV, because mine's is more like a, you know, it's like more like a memoir, you know. So, and it's, you know, starting from childhood up into adulthood, and it's really good. But that second one, I think would definitely do well.
Yeah, and that second one, I went under my other pseudonym. Each genre that I write under different pseudonyms. And Charles Erotic Benjamin was my pseudonym on that book that me and Toya did together. Mm-hmm. My next question to you is, if someone came to you today and said, could you write my book, my autobiography, Do you think you're capable of doing it, or would you do it?
Yeah, I would. I know I'm capable of doing it. I would just have to, you know, dedicate the time to it.
Okay. What are your writing spaces looking like? Like, where do you find your most peace at when you were writing your books?
Usually, like, on my days off. Like, or not even on my days off. Like, sometimes I can be at work, shit, or driving, and something will hit me. And I'll just write it down. You know, I'll jot it down because, unlike a lot of authors, I hand wrote my book because I don't like using the internet like that. And I don't have a computer. So everything was pen and paper. Yeah, but that's like old school.
Yeah, well, you know, you still have some authors that do old school stuff, you know. I interviewed an author a couple of days ago. Matter of fact, I interviewed two authors a couple of days ago, and they both admitted that they wrote it down. But they also admitted that it came from them being in prison and having to write their stuff out, you know. Right. So it was like they were still stuck in that mentality of let me write it on pen and paper. But there's nothing wrong with it, you know, because sometimes I might wake up and grab a pen and paper and write something down, but like, oh, I don't want to forget that. Oh, that was nice. Right. I thought it was something, you know. So I get it. I get it all day.
Yeah.
So now I know you said that, you know, you enjoy writing and you don't do it for the money. If you didn't have the gift to write, what other hobbies would you get involved in?
I love to dance, but not that type of dance. That was in the past. I can't do that now. But even like being like a choreographer, you know, because I was talking to one of my coworkers and she's trying to get into dance. And I was like, you need to come to my house so we could like practice and stuff. And she was like, oh my God, Miss Toy, you really good, whatever. And I was like, I love it, you know, but I'm getting older and to be trying to go to auditions and be in videos and shit, that's for your age because she's in her 20s. You know, I was like, but I'll work with you. I was like, because some moves and stuff that you do, you a little stiff. You know what I'm saying? I said, and we could work together. And she was like, I really appreciate that. So, you know, I'm definitely hoping to see her in some videos and things like that because it is really her passion and she's good at it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you think that you consider yourself a good mentor for younger women as far as the things you went through in your past?
Yes, yes. And not even the things I went through in my past, but, you know, I got some education and I have a lot of training and, you know, I've worked in a group home in the past. You know, I've worked in mental health. I've worked in psych hospitals, you know, so talking to those girls, running groups with those girls, just trying to get them to understand that you can turn your life around and be a good person no matter what you've been through.
Yeah, I know a lot of times people get caught up in their situation and think that that's the final say in what's going on in the rest of their lives, you know. So finally, what's the next for you after sharing your story with the world?
Well, hopefully one or both of my books can be a movie. And that would be great. And me really just you know, learning how to promote it more. You know what I'm saying? Because I really was just focusing on friends and family. Like, I really don't be going outside of that to capture other audiences and things like that. And, you know, they do a lot of things here in Atlanta, like at the convention center, and they be having, you know, for sisters only and things like that. And a lot of Black stuff for, you know, and I need to be getting involved, and it don't be that expensive sometimes to just get a table or get a booth, you know what I'm saying, and promote, you know, your work.
Yeah. I got another question. I know that I said that was the final one, but I got another one.
Okay.
If you chose one or two of the books to be a movie, who would you choose for the cast?
Celebrities?
Yep.
Well, I would say for bringing it from the streets to the sheets, I definitely would want to go with Teyana Taylor to play Conceited.
Okay.
I would want somebody like Kiki Palmer to play Toya, because she's kind of versatile. And Jamal, I don't know, Jamal would be kind of hard, but someone that's tall and dark, and maybe someone like Mekhi Phifer or one of the guys from BMF. I mean, you got a lot of black actors now doing their thing.
All right. Can you share with the audience your social media?
For Facebook and for Instagram, it's just Toya McCray. I don't got no TM down the street block with the big hips, nothing up. Toya McCray. I don't like all them crazy names because sometimes people send me friend requests and I don't know who that is. I got to look at the pictures and try to stroll on the pictures to see if I know this person, because I actually know everyone on my Facebook and my Instagram. I don't like to be friends with strangers.
Yeah.
So, you know, I is my name.
Okay. Well, we have completed another segment of The Voice Behind the Pen. And again, I appreciate you taking out your time to come on the show and discuss your book. And I want to thank everyone that's listening for tuning in. And good night.
Good night, and thank you for having me. And get both those books. When the second one come out, I'll let you know. But from A Rotten Apple to a Georgia Peach, it is out.
Where can they find it at?
They can find it on Amazon, or you can send me a message through Facebook or Instagram, and I will mail it to you and autograph it for you.
All right.
All right.
You heard it first. You heard it from her, direct. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Now.